to all of you fathers. Happy Father's Day. I was reading this week about it's good to be a man. Why? Number one, phone conversations are over in 30 seconds flat. It's good to be a man. Number two, because a week-long vacation only requires one suitcase. It's good to be a man. I got to tell you, my four kids and my wife are going to camp starting tomorrow. And Joseph and Annalena are in junior camp. Lydia and Mariah are in teen camp. And Susanna is a teen girl camp counselor. Pray for her this week for sure. Little did I know the undertaking it would be to get five people ready for camp. I mean, oh my soul. We went to Costco and Walmart last night. We're flat broke. Every suitcase we own is being used, plus garbage bags. I mean, it is nuts in the rural house right now. And anyway, it's quite an undertaking. But a fella can do it, one suitcase. Number three, you only need two or three pairs of shoes. That's it. It's good to be a man. Number four, gray hair and wrinkles only add character to men. Number five, fine really means fine. Number six, if another guy wears the same thing you're wearing to the same event, you might just become lifelong buddies when you're a guy. And then number seven, we get to be dads. It's good to be a man. And to every dad in the room, happy Father's Day. Well, we're going to continue in our series this morning, Heart Connections, connecting with the hearts of those in our family and guiding their hearts to the heart of the Lord. And we're going to start a lesson this morning. We'll probably need next week to finish it, entitled The Seven Laws of Biblical Chastening. The Seven Laws of Biblical Chastening. We spent the first part of this series really talking about training. How do we train the hearts of the children that God has given to us? And now we're going to turn a corner and focus on the role of chastening. As fathers and mothers, the role of chastening. Now, biblical chastening is the idea of correction for the purpose of reclaiming. So we want to reclaim what we've lost in the heart of our child, and biblical chastening brings that about through the correction that God guides us. I think you have this in your notes, but here's a quote by Kerry Schmidt. Discipline is a holy thing. In the big picture, all discipline is about bringing our children into a right relationship with their Heavenly Father that He might bless their lives. It's a bit of a paradox, but it's true. The very thing that causes their greatest temporary displeasure and unhappiness, your correction, is also one of the things that makes them feel the most loved. And biblical chastening done right does just that. It restores our relationship with our child, it restores their relationship with God, and it draws us closer to them. That's the point of it. And so we want to make sure that we understand, how do we administer biblical chastening in our home? Now, understand this. No amount of chastening will ever overcome a lack of training. When there's been a lack of training and we just try to chasten and correct and discipline constantly, 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 it's not going to make up for the fact that there wasn't training. There has to be training there. And sometimes we can get beside ourselves in discipline when really it's a lack on the front end of the training. It reminds me of the word momster. You ever heard of that word, momster? The definition of momster is what happens to a mom after she gets to the count of 10. That's the momster. And sometimes when we're in full-on correction mode, here comes the momster version, right? But sometimes that's unnecessary. It's just a lack of training. And chastening, biblically, is a critical tool in the parent's toolbox, but it's not the only one. So it's got to be in the tool bag with the other things that we've discussed. But it certainly belongs there. And when it's done right, chastening produces a peaceful fruit of righteousness in the hearts of our children. And shocking to many, builds a closeness between the parent and the child that's not possible in any other way. Suzanne and I were talking with a couple this week about chastening. And I mentioned that when I've had the responsibility to provide chastening to one of my children, it has amazed me the instant closeness that exists when that is over. There is a desire for them to be in my presence physically, to enjoy something together, to be with me, because what was hindering us or what was driving the wedge has now been cleared, and there is a closeness that results. And so the seven laws of biblical chastening, how do we carry out this responsibility and mandate according to the Bible in our homes as husbands, wives, fathers, mothers. Number one, the law of the boomerang. The law of the boomerang. What does this mean? It means as we chasten our children, so God chastens us. Now look at Deuteronomy 8:5 in your notes. That shall also consider in thine heart, that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Put another way, God judges us in the same way that we judge our children. Notice what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 2. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. We need to recognize that how we judge, how we chasten our children greatly affects how God judges and chastens you and I. James 13 says, for he shall have judgment without mercy, that he showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. If we withhold mercy, be careful, God might withhold that mercy from us. That's why the Bible says in Matthew 5, 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And so we want to remember, hey, how we are operating as moms and dads, as we are governing our home, as we are stewarding the relationship with our children, be mindful how we do that greatly affects the way that God is going to treat us. God will judge you and I in the manner that we judge our children. So if we're hypercritical of them, or if we're difficult to get along with, or if we're constantly belittling or condemning and nitpicking our children about everything, God is going to show no less grace to us in our life in relationship with Him. But if we are gracious, if we are kind, if we are patient with the faults and imperfections of our children, then God will extend more of that to you and I as well. And so we want to make sure we understand, wow, we need to chasten our children with the same mercy that we want God to chasten us. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that we should be lenient. I'm saying that we should be merciful. And let's spend a moment here so that we can differentiate between the two. Okay, follow along. In child rearing, these are two very different things. Leniency is based on weakness, whereas mercy is based on virtue. So lenience is tolerance or permissiveness or indulgence. And they're all negative qualities in child rearing. Where mercy is the son of kindness. And mercy literally means to steep or to bow low in help to the one who needs it. Now, we understand that mercy is an attribute of God. God is mercy. Look at the scriptures in your notes. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again a lovely hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive. Don't you love the default position of God? Ready to forgive. That's a different lesson, but I love that verse. And plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endureth forever. It is of the Lord's mercies that we faint not, that we're not consumed because of his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And that's just a sampling. We could have put hundreds of scriptures in there where God makes it abundantly clear in the Bible, God is a merciful God, period. We understand that God is mercy, and he desires for you and I to have that characteristic alive and well in our parenting and in our homes. But how does then this mercy that God has, that he desires for you and I have, tie into the chastening of our children into the law of the boomerang? Well, notice what Jesus says in Luke 6:36. Be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Now stop and think for a moment. Would your children think of you as merciful when they have done wrong and they bring to you a repentant spirit? So when your child does something wrong, and you confront them, or they initiate and come to you, but there is immediately a repentant spirit, is it mercy that they see? Is that what they would say? Because that's exactly what you and I get from the Lord. In fact, notice what Solomon said in Proverbs 16:6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When truth is there, hey, you did this wrong. When mercy is there, a repentant spirit met by mercy, iniquity is purged. Now, listen, and I know there's lots of popular chastening and correction tools out there today, but just follow along in a biblical mindset and thought pattern here. Timeouts or threats of groundings or punishment or whatever, these do not purge iniquity. They delay the issue, okay? But when there's truth and when there is mercy, a chastening that has these major components, iniquity is purged. Now watch what A.W. Tozer says. Speaking of the Lord, He remembers our frame and knows that we are dust. He may sometimes chasten us, and it is true. But even when He does this, He does it with a smile, the proud, tender smile of a father who is bursting with pleasure over an imperfect but promising son, who is coming every day to look more and more like the one whose child he is. Now, God is merciful. That is true. God is not lenient or indulgent or permissive. We understand that. God loves us indeed, but God has the balance of grace and truth, right and mercy along with it. Now, as we think about us as parents, typically parents fall into one of three categories. Parents are either merciful, lenient, or legal. Merciful, lenient, or legal. Clint Cavan has said this: mercy is a godly virtue of wisdom and the perception of the child's spirit to know when to bestow it. Lenience is self-serving dereliction of parental duty, often seen with a father speaks words of correction to his children but does nothing when they totally ignore them or him. So mercy is there to mete out mercy to a repentant child with a repentant spirit. Leniency is self-serving to us as the parent, that we have established truth, the child has ignored truth, and we do nothing because to do something would be an inconvenience to us. Now, we must understand, our preparation of our children is for their eternal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. God will not be lenient. God is holy and God is just. Read the Bible. There were lots of people that God loved, that God chastened. He was not lenient to them at all because they needed the truth and the righteousness of God. God will not be legal because God extends grace. And how thankful we are for God's grace, for without it we could not be saved. But God indeed is merciful, and we must be merciful as well. We must understand the law of the boomerang. The way that we interact, train, and discipline our children much determines the way that God treats us. And we want to make sure that, yes, there is truth, but there is mercy as well. And our children must understand that when there is a repentive spirit, when there is a broken will, when there is a surrendered heart, there should be an expression of mercy from father and mother, just as we would expect and desire from our Heavenly Father as well. So the law of the boomerang: be careful how you chasten and treat, because it affects the way that God treats you. Number two, the law of L, D, and R. The law of L, D, and R. Now, what in the world does that mean? Let's dive into it. Chastening has become a symbol of everything except what God intended it to be. Isn't that true? It's amazing how people look at chastening today. And there's no way to escape the spirit of love that God intended to be connected with chastening. We don't think of it that way in our culture today, but that was God's intention. In fact, notice what the scripture says in Proverbs 13:24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. Doesn't that sound totally the opposite of today's culture? I mean, aren't we told as moms and dads, never discipline your children, never tell them they're wrong, never tell them no. If you do that, you don't love them. Well, that's interesting, because God says the exact opposite. God says, when I spare the rod, I hate my children. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. We'll look at that verse a little bit more detail later. Revelation 3:19. As many as I love, saith the Lord, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So in the scripture, there is an obvious connection between chastening and love. Where there is love, there is chastening. Where there is chastening, there is love. There is a connection of those two in the Word of God. But in our society today, and in many homes in America today, chastening is associated with the temper, yelling, screaming, chasing a child around the bedroom, angry outburst, high blood pressure, hurtful language, alienation, intimidation, aggravation. When we think of chastening in American homes in 2019, it is the poster of everything except what God intended it to be. God intended it for it to be none of that. But in many homes it is. Why? What's missing? Biblical discipline is an expression of love. And it should be performed in such a manner that the person receiving it feels loved when it occurs. When you and I follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ and the instruction found in the Word of God, and we mete out discipline and biblical chastening and correction in our home when necessary, when it's done right, the recipient of that, our son, our daughter, whatever the case may be, they feel our love through that moment because it indeed is an expression of love. It has been carried out respectfully and in love for their benefit. So what should biblical chastening communicate to our children? The law of LDNR. Letter A, the L, I love you. My chastening to Mariah, Lydia, and Aline, and Joseph, and Susanna when she's not doing well, should communicate, just seeing if you're listening, should communicate, I love you. It should not communicate, I'm angry. It should not communicate, I hate you. It should not communicate that I care more about everything than you. It should communicate, I love you. I'm not angry. I don't hate you. And I care about you more than anything else in this world, nor everything to me. And I love you, and I'm not going to let you destroy yourself with a rebellious spirit or disobedient life. When we think about a relationship with the Lord, we understand that there's nothing we can do to make God love us more or less. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There is nothing I can do to make God love me more. He loves me. He proved it by the gift of his Son. On the same hand, there's nothing I can do to make God love me any less. God just loves me. That love is met. It's meat that's been given. It's for all to receive. I don't have to earn it by living a certain way and doing a certain thing. I can't lose it by living a certain way or being disobedient to God. He loves me because he is love, and I am safe in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, does that mean that God is always pleased with me? No. Does that mean that I'm living perfectly? No. Does that mean that God doesn't get after me and bring me back in line from time to time? No. All of those things happen, but they happen in the context of love. Now, can I ask you a question this morning? Does your child know a love like that? Does your child know a love from you that is always there no matter what? It's not attached to, well, if you perform a certain way, or if you do a certain this or that, or if you behave just a certain way, then I'm going to love you. But if you're not, then we'll see. No. Our love should be there for our child no matter what. They're our child. They're God's gift to us. And our love is to extended to them no matter what. That doesn't mean that there won't be chastening. It doesn't mean that there won't be correction needed. It doesn't mean there won't be some disappointments along the way. But love should never be questioned. And our biblical chastening carried out in our home should communicate, first of all, I love you. Let it be, I delight in you. God goes further. Not only does the Heavenly Father love the Son, but He delights in Him. Proverbs 3, notice it in your notes in verse 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Did you get that in the verse in Proverbs 3? The father is chastening the son he delights in because he delights in him. It's the polar opposite of what most children face today. It's because we don't delight in them. It's because we're embarrassed by them. It's because we are frustrated that chastening will come. But the biblical chastening says it was because a father delighted in his son. Can I challenge you as moms and dads? Never tell your child they're a bad child. You're a bad boy. You're a bad girl. No, they're a good boy or a good girl who did the wrong thing. And they need to be corrected. But they need to know that you delight in them. Remember what the Bible says. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. The man was still just and he had seven blemishes on his account that we're aware of. But the fact is he kept getting up. Listen, none of us are perfect. We all have blemishes on our account. The idea is that we keep getting back up, living for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want our children to know in the context of our homes, listen, I love you and I delight in you. You are the light of my life. It might be telling our children something like, I chastened you today because you're too special to be ignored and you need help in doing the right thing. And I want to help you. But it's not categorizing them as a terrible, bad person. No, it's the gift that God has given to us who's chosen in that moment to do something wrong and needs loving correction. And when it's done right, it communicates, I love you. I delight in you. Letter C, I receive you. God wraps up this LDNR bundle with reconciliation. Every son in whom he receiveth, the Bible speaks of. Prolonged, forced separation is not biblical chastening. Chastening in a way that causes our child to feel rejection is not biblical chastening. Biblical chastening is receiving our child back into the fellowship that God desires for he and you and I to have. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. God wants our chastening to communicate receiving back into fellowship with our child. Now, people confuse punishment with chastening. Punishment is the act of making your child pay for their sin. Now stop and think about that for a moment. Has the Lord Jesus Christ ever required for you and I to pay for our sin? No. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God does not require me to pay for my sins unless I reject God. Romans 6:23. But if I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as my Savior, I'm not going to pay for my sins. They're paid for. Amen. By the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. C.H. Spurgeon said, God never punishes his children in the sense of avenging justice. He chastens as a father does his child, but he never punishes his redeemed as a judge does a criminal. It is unjust to exact punishment from redeemed souls since Christ has been punished in their place. How shall the Lord punish twice for one offense? Now, our children need to be loved, delighted in, and received. And we need to be very careful that our chastening is not a rejecting. It's not a labeling, but rather it is dealing with what occurred and correcting. I love you. I delight in you. I receive you. Let's resolve this. Let's reconcile. Let's restore and let's move on. It's like the mom who was struggling with her son one day and going through lots of these things. And she looked at him and she said, what am I going to do with you? And he yelled back, I'm just a kid. If you don't know what to do with me, how am I supposed to know? And sometimes we don't know what to do, but God does. And we want to follow his biblical prescription. So we want to receive our child back into fellowship with us as mom and dad. Now, when we receive them back, it's not just telling them, I love you. It's not just telling them, hey, we're good. It carries a greater picture. It's body language. It's the invitation. It's the physical contact. It's the playful attitude. It's the emotional unity. When you and your child are right, they'll know it. But when biblical chastening or correction has been done wrong in your home, and there is obvious division between you and your child, that is a warning light going off and a siren sounding. Something's wrong. After I've disciplined Joseph, let's say, if he doesn't want to be in my presence, if he doesn't want to sit at the same meal table as me, if he doesn't want to play the game that I'm playing, if he doesn't want to see me, I've done something wrong. I've wounded that spirit, and I've not carried out biblical chastening correctly. I'm not saying ignore biblical chastening. You have to have biblical chastening because you love. But it has to be done in a way that communicates, I love you, I delight in you, I receive you. I want us to be closer than we've ever been before. And that is the product of biblical discipline as God sees it. So what are these laws? Well, God encourages you and I to understand biblical chastening and to embrace, first of all, the law of the boomerang. As we chasten, as we judge, so God judges us. Then the law of LDNR, loving them, delighting in them, receiving them. Lastly for today, number three, the law of first light. Have you ever had to pay a lot of money for a car repair that had you dealt with it immediately, it would have been a lot less money? The first time that check engine light came on or the first time that warning went off, had you dealt with it right then and maybe dealt with a small oil leak or dealt with this or dealt with that, it could have been a rather minor, inexpensive repair, but because it was neglected, because we just kind of brushed off and said, oh, it'll be fine, and then it turned in maybe to a major overhaul of expense and magnitude of a problem because we didn't deal with it in the earliest moment possible. You know, attitudes in children are like seeds. Some you want to nurture and water. Some you want to root out and destroy. Clint Cavanaugh said, chasten an attitude and it will not become an action. Chasten thy son while there is hope and let not thy soul spare for his crying. We want to work while the concrete's wet, while their life is moldable, while their heart is tender. We want to make sure to do our best work. A child becomes a delinquent one rebellion at a time. One lie to mom, one deception, one dirty picture in the backyard tent, one I'll be there when really he was over here, one wrong friend, one godless CD, one pack of cigarettes, one joint hidden in the woods, one sneak around girlfriend, one hidden Facebook page, one shoplift, one sexual note hidden in the bedroom, one cell phone mom and dad never knew about, one secret meeting in the food court at the mall, one sleepover with a friend that was really about seeing their sibling, and on it goes. One this and one that. It's one step that leads to those things. Rebellion is never a blowout. It is always a slow leak. Remember, attitudes form actions. Actions form habits. Habits form character, and character forms destiny. Now, a man's children and his garden both reflect the amount of weeding done during the growing season. Now, notice the verse in Proverbs 13:24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Let's drill down on that. The word betimes means early, or literally it means from the dawn or from the blackness. So from the very, when the black begins to turn gray because the sun is on the rise, early. God says, chasten him early, betimes, at the dawn. It does not mean many times. It does not mean all the time, but it simply means early. God wants you and I early on in the lives of our children to provide the biblical chastening required to guide their heart towards the heart of the Lord. Now, God has given all of us a free will. We're thankful for that. That term occurs no less than 17 times in the Word of God. But if we do not break and shape the will of our child, if we do not have their heart with love, if we are not connected and communicating to them purpose, then that child can grow up in a direction entirely different than God intends. So, training must be coupled with spiritual chastening. This balance produces an enthusiastic, God-loving spirit and heart. And may all of us understand, as moms and dads, it is our job, yes, to train, but also to provide the biblical chastening. God does it out of love, and we are commanded to do that as well. But we have to understand, as we chasten, so God chastens us. Chastening done in the right way communicates love, delight, and reception, connection, desire. We're on the same page. We're receiving them. And then we want to understand it's got to be done early. Whatever stage you are in family life, let me encourage you, don't waste another moment. God has given you today, make the most of it. If God gives you tomorrow, make the most of it. Don't put off to tomorrow what you can do today. Our children need you and I to be vigilant in doing everything we can to train them to have a heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will continue these seven laws next Sunday. But let's ask the Lord to help us to understand these three and to embrace them in our hearts, our marriages, and our homes. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of coming together this morning and studying your word. We're grateful for what you're doing in our class and in every life represented here and in every home. And Lord, we know that when we think about being a father or a mother, the discipline and correction that is required is not maybe the part that we enjoy, but we understand our role and responsibility. So Lord, help us to love our children enough to provide the correction that is needed, but help us to do it in a biblical way that communicates love. And may, as it is done well and according to the Bible, may it draw us closer to our children as a result. I pray that you would strengthen every marriage and family in this room. And I pray your richest blessing upon their home. And I pray that you bless every dad on this special day of Father's Day. Thank you for being our Heavenly Father and for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.